Thank you for coming this morning. I'm Pastor Dade Ronan, fill in for Brian. Let's go ahead and get a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the time that we can gather together to worship you, to praise you, to glorify you, to honor you, and to declare from the rooftops that you are our King, our Lord, our Master. You're the one who saved us from sin and death. And we just give you thanks this morning. Thank you, Lord. We lift your name up on high and just give you praise and honor, for only you are worthy of it, Lord. So, Father, we pray you'll bless your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, do you remember when you used to hand write letters and then mail them off to friends and relatives? Then came the typewriter. You would type out your letter and then mail it. After that, in the late 80s and 90s, came computers. You found that you could type a letter on your computer and edit all of your mistakes super fast and easy, and then print it out, sign at the bottom, and then mail it. And then email came in the 90s. You remember AOL? Every time you received an email in your inbox, it would say, "You've got mail." And by sending email, it was almost instantaneous. No more need to write lengthy letters because you could keep in constant communication with the people you knew. Then came cell phones in the 2000s. And email gradually moved from email to texting, text messages. The texts were short, and no more lengthy messages, but quick responses. So the other day, my daughter Trinity told me she just got scolded for using a period at the end of her text message. She told me that it made the recipient feel disrespected. That's when I piped up and said, "What? That's crazy. You're always supposed to end a sentence with a period. That's just proper grammar." She said, "No, Daddy. Millennials don't like to use periods because it makes the statement come off as being aggressive." She went on to tell me, "If you use OKAY for okay, that means everything is fine. If you use okay, things are just average. But if you just use K or K with a period, that things are not okay. And you've probably just been defriended from Facebook." So I told her, "Wow, I got a lot to learn about millennials." I bring this up because recently found a draft letter that I was writing to a pastor friend of mine who has Lyme disease. So I wanted to encourage him with a handwritten letter to glorify and praise God through his pain and suffering. Then I was thinking, well, why not just write him an email? Because it would get there so much faster, right? So I found the draft email that I had created. I had not finished it and only wrote one paragraph. I have since seen him several times face to face and expressed my prayers and support for what he is going through. And I never did send off that handwritten letter or email, but I did encourage him. So this is what the Apostle Paul is doing here in Philippians chapter 1. And if you have a Bible, please open to Philippians chapter 1. So Apostle Paul is encouraging the Christian church in Philippi, and that's what I want to do this morning. I want to encourage you to glorify and praise God, even though you are enduring pandemic consequences, even though we are in economic upheaval, even though we are suffering racial inequalities, even though we are going through political indifferences, even though we were going through and experiencing spiritual brokenness, I want to encourage you to glorify and praise God. So don't keep your attention on what will pass away, but keep your eyes fixed on things above, because Jesus is coming back. Can I get an amen? So this morning, Paul is going to give us seven ways and how to glorify God from Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. How to glorify God, how to glorify and praise God. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, let's go ahead and take a look at this. The Bible reads, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. So question, who is the author of Philippians? I was sharing this with my wife the other day, and I kept saying Philippines. I kept saying, who is the author of Philippines? And she would look at me like, what are you talking about? Philippines? What country are you in? So who is the author of Philippians? Well, obviously, Apostle Paul wrote the letter of Philippians to his close friends and Christians there in Philippi from his Roman house arrest described at the end of the book of Acts in Acts chapter 28, verse 30 to 31. As he waited for his court appearance before Caesar in AD 61. So who was this letter written to? Well, it was written to the church in Philippi. Philippi was founded by Paul some 11 years before this letter on his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 16. And I want to encourage you to read this passage, Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 40. And it talks about Paul and Silas's traveling through Philippi and the exploits that they had. It's great historical references and information. I want to encourage you to read that. So this was the church, the first church established in the continent of Europe. Now verse 2. The Bible reads, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So how does Paul greet the Philippian church? Well, Paul gave his familiar greeting of grace and peace, recognizing that these come to us only from God our Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And I remember when I would sign letters, at the bottom when you put your signature, I always used to write grace and peace, comma, and then my name. And I always thought that was a great way to end a letter. Grace and peace to you. Well, the main message of this letter to the church in Philippi is actually joy. Joy in the Lord. Through this letter, the Apostle Paul expresses how true joy only comes from the Lord. You cannot experience this God-given joy until you first experience the peace of God in your life. Peace is this Hebrew translation of the word shalom, which is a God-given peace that surpasses all understanding. We cannot explain it. We just know we have this calm feeling inside of us that comes from outside of us. You cannot experience this God-given peace until you first experience the grace of God in your life. Well, grace is God's unmerited favor to the infinitely ill-deserving. Listen, God is giving you something you do not deserve. So what is it that you do not deserve? God gives you salvation for free. It is a free gift that you cannot earn, you cannot buy, and you cannot obtain it from any other religion. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God gives you salvation freely when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because you have faith and believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he rose again on the third day and sits at the right hand of the Father for the forgiveness of your sins to grant you that eternal life. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, you ask the question, well, how does that happen? Paul answers that in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. He says that if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now let's take a look at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Nice short statement. Who does Paul thank God for? Specifically, the church that Paul planted. As the founding pastor, he thanked God for each and every person as they came to his remembrance. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. How can I remember to make mention of you in my prayers? Honestly, I need help. I need help to remember all the prayer requests that I get. So, I turn to the Holy Spirit and technology. See, I have Google Reminders set up on my cell phone to remind me to pray for all my prayer requests. And I have a specific reminder to remind me to pray for Calvary Chapel, West Wichita. So every morning when I do my devotions, my reminder pops up, my Google Reminders pops up and tells me, reminds me, oh yeah, pray for Calvary Chapel, West Wichita. So I do that every morning. I pray and thank God for you. And as I open up my cell phone and go to Google Reminders, pray for CCWW. I pray for you all every morning. So with these reminders, and I've been doing this for several years, I want to encourage you to use technology today to help you to love one another, to bless one another, and to help further the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what we're doing with laptops and audio and video and all this streaming stuff. We're using today's technology to further the kingdom of God and to help us to love one another. That's exactly what Paul did. Well, minus the technology. Verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So this is what he's thanking them for. So when should the church partner with the pastor in the gospel? Well, Paul answers this question for us in this text as he says, from the first day. This was one reason Paul was thankful for the Philippian church. The idea is that the Philippians partnered with Paul in the spreading of the gospel through their friendship and financial support. And they did so from the very first day. They didn't wait to see if Paul was a winner, if Paul was eloquent in speech, or if Paul was charismatic or anything. No, they didn't wait for that. They got behind Paul and his ministry from day one because they loved him and the fact that he loved Jesus. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what encouragement did Paul give the Philippian church? Well, the fact that God always keeps his promises. Let me say that again. God always keeps his promises. When I was in Bible college back in the mid-90s, I only had enough tuition to last me the first semester. So when it came to start the next semester, God gave me this passage, this verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God gave me this verse as a promise to me that he began a good work in me and that I would complete my course of study. The Lord fulfilled that promise by providing me the opportunity to work on the newly bought Bible college campus and conference center. So those funds went directly to pay for the complete remainder of the tuition that I owed. God always completes his promises. God always keeps and completes his promises. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some consider slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Now, this is how I know Paul was from the Midwest, because he says, "you all." You all are partakers with me in grace. So, who had Paul's heart? It was the Philippian church. Paul was a man of towering intellect, but he was also a man of great heart. He was a man like David after God's own heart. And the Philippian Christians were in Paul's heart. You know, ministry can be tough sometimes. That is why it's important to minister together as one body, to be knit together as one body, because ministry is big, bigger than one person can do. And Paul was thankful, and he had a heart for the Philippian church. Verse 8, "For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all," there he is, "you all, with the affection of Jesus Christ." So who did Paul call to his witness? The apostle Paul, this great, mighty apostle, called God as his witness, that he truly did have a deep affection for them. George was 28 years old, single, and still living with his parents. One Sunday morning, George told his mother he wasn't going to church. This must be a millennial. First, he said, "I'm tired. Second, the people don't like me. Third, the sermons are dull." But George's mother wouldn't take no for an answer. "George," she said, "you have to go. First, we always worship on Sunday. Second, it doesn't matter whether people like you or not. And third, you have to go. You are the pastor." "But just so that you know, I like you." Verse 9. Let's take a look at this. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment." Was Paul satisfied with where they were? Was Paul satisfied with where they were at in their Christian walk? No. And we should never be satisfied with where we are at in our Christian walk as well, but always growing in grace, growing in love, growing in the Word, growing in our relationship with God, growing in our relationship with each other. The Philippians had a lot of love, and they showed it to Paul. Yet Paul didn't hesitate to pray that their love would abound still more and more. See, it doesn't matter how much love you have for others, we can still have more. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So what kind of things am I to approve as a believer? Things that are excellent. I like that word, excellent. It's like kind of right next to my favorite word, awesome. And what are those things? Paul answers that question later on in this letter to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, if you want to turn there, you can, just a couple pages probably. Chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. And the God of peace will be with you." Now, verse 10 goes on to make an interesting statement. At the end, he says, Paul says, "Without offense, till the day of Christ Jesus." So how can I be without offense? You know, today, everybody's offended about everything. You look at them wrong and they're offended. I like what one person said, "I'm offended at your offense." How can I be without offense? By simply repenting of my sins. You see, I need to do this on a daily basis and be cleansed and purified by God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Not just a portion, not some, a little bit here, a little bit there, not something in our dark corner of our closet, of our heart, but all unrighteousness. That's my God, because he's awesome and excellent. Verse 11, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." So what are the fruits that Jesus gives us? These are the fruits of the Spirit. We can look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So bearing fruit is always the result of abiding in Jesus. Now, as we abide in him, we receive the life and nutrients we need to naturally bear fruit to glorify and praise God. John chapter 15, verse 4 to 8, Jesus says this. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." You want to know what a disciple is? John chapter 15, verse 4 to 8. Now, What are the 7 ways that I can learn how to glorify and praise God in these crazy times that we're living in? Number 1, by applauding believers in thankfulness. Verse 3, I thank God for you. Number 2, by agreeing to partner in ministry. Verse 5, I love sharing the good news of Jesus with you. Number 3, by accepting the promises of God. Verse 6, I have faith that God will keep his promises for you. Number 4, by abounding in love. Verse 9, and I want to grow in my love towards you. Number 5, by approving things that are excellent. Verse 10, I stand up for righteousness in order to bless you. Number 6, by asking for forgiveness. Also verse 10, I confess my sins daily, so nothing is going to separate my fellowship with God and you. And finally, number 7, by abiding in Jesus. Verse 11, I live to fellowship with the one who died on the cross for me and you. So, when you are going through some tough times like we are currently, life is not dealing you a very good hand. You are not in a very happy-making place, like my wife likes to use that phrase. It's not very happy-making. You can still praise and glorify God where you are. Even when King Nebuchadnezzar threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, they still experienced sweet fellowship with the Lord. And I want to encourage you to glorify and praise God. Don't keep your attention on what will pass away, but keep your eyes affixed on things above, because Jesus is coming back. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the promise that you said you were coming back. And Lord, we look forward to that day. So in the meantime, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, help us to live a life holy and acceptable unto you, that our days, our mouths, our hands, our feet, everything that we do, all of our actions would be honoring and praising and glorifying you, God. Thank you for your word. We pray that you'll continue to bless us throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen.